Looking back, it's not, or it doesn't seem long, but yet it's been over a month, certainly a month and a half, since 5-6 weeks since we were at the feast. And, you know, it doesn't seem very long. Time seems to really go fast these days. It just disappears. And here we are, you know, almost into heading into winter, the long winter months ahead. We have snow here on the ground, which is a very good reminder that we're heading into even some real climatic weather here that kind of upsets the everything and the driving patterns and everything. But we think back of the wonderful time that we did have at the feast, enjoying that foretaste of the time to come. And it can be kind of a letdown after the feast, but but we need to keep, as Mr. Bowles said for the feast, we were to keep looking forward. We must keep going on. So today I want to have a question, and I want us to kind of make us think as we go through the winter months here ahead to keep us bolstered and keep us going on. What I want to ask is every day of your life now abundant and joyous? Is it? Do we really get up every morning and we're happy? And I know that's not reality in all times. Some days we do get up and we're joyous, but we should. We should have abundant, joyous life every day. And let's take a look at John 10:10 and look at this scripture here that does basically lead to that we should have life and more and have it abundantly. In John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But here Christ says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, we should have life. That wasn't, I don't, he's talking of the future too, but he's talking of now. He brought it so that the people of his time and those that he calls to have an abundant life now. But to look at that, we need to go back and you say, well, what makes a Christian? And the answer will come up, the one that follows Christ. Christ's example in doing what he does. And we can look over to Romans 8 and 9 and see sort of what Christ qualifies as a statement for being one of his as a Christian, one that follows him. Romans 8 and verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if a Christian is one that follows Christ, so therefore we must have God's Spirit. Well, you think, how do we get that? Well, God had to call us, and we had to answer that call. And then, through that calling, the opportunity to repent and be baptized had to come along in order to be able to have God's Spirit. Without God's Spirit, we can't belong to Christ, as it says here in Romans 8 and verse 9. We must have that Spirit. God called us, and then we must baptize. We must answer that call. We do have to do it. We have to answer that call. We cannot be Christ without God opening the door in our mind. That is a miracle in itself. And without God's Spirit, we can never have the abundant life that Christ is talking about back in John 10:10. We must use that Spirit to have that abundant life. When we go back to look to see what actually is the fruit of this, of God's Spirit, we all have gone over it and over it. This will be just sort of a review, but if we go to Galatians 5 and 22, and it does show what is the fruit of God's Spirit. And with God's Spirit, we can enjoy that, and that will help us to have the life, abundant life that Christ was talking about. And it starts out, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, which is outgoing care and concern, God's agape love, which we are working to, and it is a real struggle for us to attain to that, and it is only through God's Spirit that we can have it. Then the next part leads to joy, which you can have, you can be happy. Peace. you know, sometimes in this world, in this, the struggles that are going on now, the economic trials and troubles, a lot of people in this world do not have peace. But we should have, with God's Spirit, we should have peace. We should be able to long-suffering our patience. We should have patience to deal with the problems of everyday life. Gentleness, we should be kind to others. Goodness, we should be doing, will help us to be able to do good things to other people, and to have the faith that God is there with us, to keep on going. And then it's 23, meekness, temperance, and against such thing there is no law. You know, mankind can't legislate against it. They try to legislate everything else. But these attributes of God's Spirit, the fruit, cannot be legislated by man. They come from God. An abundant life must be a life that has abundant resources. And in order to get these resources, we must turn to God Almighty. He is a great giver. You and I don't have those resources within us. You know, before I came to the church, did any of us have really much love? We may have had some. The brotherly love, the filial, and the rest of these, certain amount of joy and stuff. But most of it would be selfish, inward, to ourselves, not outgoing like God is. God is the great giver, and He will give us the resources necessary to have that abundant life. But we must ask. If we ask to let God's Spirit work through us, it is only through it coming into us and then going out. We cannot do these things without, you can't get God's Spirit and then just hold it within, sit in the corner in a room and never see anybody, never do anything. The God's Spirit must flow through us in order to have that abundant life. It is only through the Spirit working in us and through us that we will have that abundant life. But as Christians, we will have trials and troubles. Who doesn't in this day and age have trials and troubles? But, you know, Jesus said in John, if they persecuted you, they will persecute me. The troubles will come, but those trials and troubles of this life are good for us because they will help us to build character and to overcome. It is only through those trials and troubles that we will be strengthened in God's way and will be able to build that character, that godly character that is needed. Let's turn over to 1 Peter, it says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. It's not strange to have trials and troubles. Like Christ said, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. But rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So there it is. You know, even though there are troubles and trials in this world, we should remember that the end result is that Christ has suffered, he rose, and is sitting at God's right hand, looking down, waiting to be able to bring us to that point too. And let's turn over to 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath gotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, there's the ultimate goal, the ultimate abundant life that will come in the future. But that's not right now. We must continue to have God's Spirit and go and ask God for that Spirit to have that abundant life now. We need to continue to go to Him on our knees and ask God for it, to continue to look forward to that future which here is mentioned in 1 Peter, to get us through the rough times of this winter, to not try and get down, but to stay positive and to have that abundant life every day throughout this winter season.